Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you in this extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The one who uses mud to fix everything. And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Toenail man. If you missed the first hour, you missed a prophetic word of the true debt, $200 trillion. You missed the story about martial law in America and what's about to take place. And you missed how to operate in great faith in God, where Jesus is talking about the centurion. Listen, be encouraged. If you missed it, you can go back and catch it on the VFN TV app. You can go back and listen to VFNTV.com, or you can stay tuned for The Loop 24/7. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Toenail Ramos. These guys are cracking up, man, listening to your toenail experience. If you have not yet.
You believe that?
And I really can't. I really can't.
I mean,
I'm just shocked.
The shenanigans these two pulled. I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm amazed at myself. I am coming soon.
Right.
And I think I have a way to get with
but
these
John,
guys.
You know what a toenail
guys.
Is now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Think of the
thanks
experience.
For the lesson. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, the whole
I was able to give you guys a little humor this morning too. I saw that you guys were chuckling quite a bit, Chris.
What you talking about, John?
Okay.
What are you trying to say?
All right.
Well, listen, those that don't know what they're talking about, they're actually not talking about human toenails here. they're talking about how you hammer a nail into a board, and at an angle, it's called a toenail. For John, it was called clippers. And this ones that are laughing are people like to smoke their Bible. I don't understand. Yes. Also, joining us in the humor is Chris.
I've been freed, you know.
I've been freed.
I can laugh about it.
He ran out of
paper.
Paper. If you missed
what's
that testimony,
doing,
actually,
dilemmas?
I was looking
dilemmas,
for it, but
dilemmas.
I could,
you run out of paper, you know.
I couldn't even. I couldn't even actually find that. The speaking of electrical shock. How's that transition? That was good. This static electricity, I was just telling Pat, you're going to have to get a ground going on right here because I have these ear whatever monitors on, and I sit down, and if I move, I have one in each ear. If I move, it's sort of like Frankenstein getting shocked years ago. I got electrical voltage. I get electrical voltage shooting from one earpiece to the other earpiece, and it's like, come to think about it, it's kind of, maybe I needed the shock treatment. Maybe that's like maybe it's done me good. Electrical shock. Isn't that amazing? No, we need a ground.
It's static.
Is that what it was? I was wondering what was confusing my brain. We'll just put a little mud on it and it'll be good. It'll be good.
Mud fixes everything.
Yes. Well, you know, we want to be able to talk about the Word of God to encourage you today on VFN Radio's Extra Hour. And I'm thinking about the word the Lord has on my heart, and John has a word as well, that division is a dangerous thing. Well, we've talked about it before, and we just talked about a divided country, really, in the first hour, even though we didn't use the word divided. We have employees divided from employers. You have parties divided from parties. You have all these different factions of division, and it's like every division that can be fed is being fed by his current leadership. And it's just like, okay, it looks like God's turning us over to ourselves. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said that any kingdom or every kingdom, just like America, every kingdom divided against itself will not stand. So America weighs in the balance right now. Mm-hmm. We weigh in the balance in regards to, are we going to get united? And this is the big question. What are we going to unite around? Are we going to unite around an idea, a recent concept, an elastic version, translation of the Constitution? Are we going to unite around God, the Bible, and the original heart of our founding fathers and the founding documents of which the Constitution is. The Constitution is supposed to be, according to Article 6, I believe it is, the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. And in that, you know, we have to decide what we're going to do. And if enough of us begin to turn our hearts to God, which means leaving a lifestyle that does that, we're doing things that are not what God pleases God, and then doing things now that do that does please God, living rightly before God. That's called repentance. And then begin to hear and obey Him, and then go back and gather around Jesus and gather around the original intent of this nation, the original intent of the church, then this thing can be turned. But if we stay divided, and the thing is, I can't unite around your organization, but I can unite around Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you speak the same language as me. If you know Jesus, we're going to get along. If you're into what Jesus is into, I'm into you. And there's nothing more exciting than to find a lover of God. But that's the only unity that's going to work. That's the unity that's going to work, not some sort of concept or, you know, it's just because we love God and we love each other that we unite around that. And there is a cause for that. The very fact that if we want this nation to stand, in the original intent of this nation, you know, you can go back and listen to original intent on your app or on VFN radio, or go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and just listen to the original intent and realize how far we've come away. And we don't want to give up. Listen, go back and just read what you might be giving up. Go back and read about the amendments, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments on the Constitution. Do you really want to give this up? Right. Why would you want to give it up? Before you just go get in the line somewhere and grab some cardboard sign and start marching down because you want a raise, or you're upset now because you got to get a different job and you got to, you know, serve God instead of your pension, that think about this, that decide, you know, I just want to unite around God. I want to unite around God. We can start again. We can adjust. And as a matter of fact, there is a segment on VFN Radio you can listen to. It's called, I believe it's called We Can Adjust.
You can adjust.
You can adjust. Mm-hmm. And I share humorously about a camping adventure across the country, but the truth is God's designed us to adjust. You may think you can't, but it's amazing if you take a kid out of their environment for a week and away from all these different things, they'll forget about all those little distractions they had. It doesn't take long for us to adjust. But it seems like at the beginning, it's like, there's no way. Well, I'll never live. It'll never make it. But it doesn't take long. It's called fasting. You know, fasting these things and stuff and whatever, and getting away from it, and you get back in tune with the things of God. You know, and my prayer is that, Lord will touch me and touch the church, that we begin to live a fasted lifestyle in a greater level and a greater measure in 2013. Because it's in that pulling away from stuff and things and even food, you know, for times and that we can actually go back and remember, you know, what's really, really important. And we're not going to make it, no matter what anybody tells you. If we stay divided, and understand this, whether he knows it or not, whether our president knows it or not, he's created. And the only way he could have done this big a deal is because God's allowed him to do this. This is what God wanted for our country. This is, you know, we chose our leadership. Mm. If anybody's complaining about our leaders, realize those are the ones that we chose. You know, those are the people we voted for. So they didn't just get there because they promised you what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're there. And so here we are, totally divided in every faction. It's amazing what's going on. Somebody says, well, why do 50% of the marriages in the church end in divorce? It's because that couple's divided. They're divided. They're not going to make it. People say, well, you're supposed to be. Listen, your marriage is not going to make it if everything you do is against the direction and leadership of your husband when he's trying to delete the family. It's just not going to make it. You may stay together, and for the sake of, I don't know, plankton under the bottom of a boat, I don't know why, but understand that. But the thing happened. You blew it apart because, you know, you wanted to constantly be divided from your husband and divided from the family or divided from your parents. And it's just, you know, it falls apart because it's divided. We got to decide, what are we going to unite around? And we don't unite around a father, a mother, or children. You know, that's what the church has just really gone hog wild about, trying to honor children. It's like, no, actually, you're supposed to honor parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't say that about children. They're supposed to honor parents. And then the children are blessed when this happens. And it's just everything's totally upside down. And So we begin by saying, you know, we want to be united with you, God. And I want to hang around and be united with your body. Those who are loyal have an allegiance to you, Jesus. That's where I want to be. Jesus didn't hang out with everybody, but he hung out with those who hung out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, then we want to be, find out and find those who really want this country to make it. You know, they want this country to make it. They really want it to go back to its original intent, which is the Congress shall make no laws concerning religion or the free exercise thereof. It's like, get out of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and quit defining it. Don't let IRS define, you know, what only we know what it is. You know, if it's like, come on. Now, listen, if you're going to let radical Islam be defined in the First Amendment, don't even look the way of the church.
Don't even look the way of the church.
And so we have to get to a place. You say, you know, Lord, I want to live a life that's united with you. You may find that when you start walking with God and looking for those that are walking with him, a sad state that presently there's not a lot of people that are willing to just drop their nets and follow God. And they want to try to have a 1 foot in the world and 1 foot with God, and that's, it doesn't work. They want to serve money and God. Jesus said, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to begin to understand unity. And there's all kinds of unity meetings going on, but it's like, that's not a Christ-centered unity. That's just like a community unity. And it's like, we got to figure out as a church, what are we going to do? And we can do it. It's happened before in history. In the 70s, they thought it was over, and our history over and over again. You know, think about a civil war where literally the entire country is divided and killing each other and not going to stop until the death, until the surrender. And a president is trying to rule, President Lincoln's trying to rule in between all that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Cool.
And we can survive anything in God if we'll just turn to God. God can just turn things in a moment. But if we stay divided, if we think, hey, you know, I'm secretly in my heart, I'm against my husband, you know, I'm just gonna hang around, but I'm not with him, or I'm not with my parents, I'm just secretly divided from them and my family. So listen, hang on, because it's not gonna stand. It's just not gonna stand. And even though when it all falls and is said and done, and you might want to point your finger at everybody but yourself who stayed divided from what was, the truth is God knows, because he said it, anything divided will not stand. And we have to get united again. In America, e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. We stand and we do things like when our ambassador's in trouble in Benghazi, we go after him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've actually fought 18-hour wars for two American dead bodies. We fought 18 hours of war for two American dead bodies. Understand that? It's, you know, we don't leave anybody behind. And now it's like, we're just kind of blinking and oh, well, the president said, oh, it's just kind of a mishap. And because he's like, this is not America.
Mm-hmm.
This is not our founding father. This is not our original intent. How did we get to this point? And what did our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers give their life for and shed their blood for? And what did they get wounded for? You know, was it for this? Was it for a country that just leaves them behind?
Right. You know, we have this great nation, and the thing about it is that if we don't step up to the plate, if we don't recognize what so many Americans before us have done, we're going to lose it. And I think one of the things the Lord has laid on my heart, especially at the end of this year, is the word remember. You know, that word means to bring back to the brain, you know, and to intentionally go and think about the things that are very important. And I don't think that we take time to literally remember, go back and review history, review the price that others have paid. I caught a bit of a program last night where they had this soldier who came back from I guess one of the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan, a young man, really young. I he couldn't look past 22 years old if he was even that old. And he was sitting, guys, in a wheelchair, but he wasn't really sitting. The bottom of his body was gone. He had no legs. One of his arm was a mechanical arm. And he's sitting in this wheelchair, and he's saying, you know what? I was blown up. The guys that found me, I stepped on a bomb, and they picked me up and they said for sure I was dead. They said I was dead, but yet the doctors and the military, they kept working on me. They kept work. They didn't give up on me, and I'm alive today. They said the people call me a hero. I'm not a hero. So those guys that are still fighting today, those guys that have fought before me, those are the heroes. And you look at this young man who's willing to give his life for our, the freedom of our country, for the freedom for us to have a constitution. You got to look at this stuff and say, wow, you know, what are we doing? Are we going to allow these soldiers who've given their lives, their body parts, they're just in vain? Or are we going to recognize that we're in a blessed land, that this land has a constitution that God in his providence allowed us to have? And are we going to make the most out of it? And as believers, my goodness, it allows us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ without interference.
And there was a day that you could go to another nation and share the gospel. And if you got held captive or somebody put you in prison, they would come and get you as an American and rescue you. And now this current administration, I just think they would go, well, yeah, you shouldn't have been there preaching the gospel in the first place. Is all of a sudden they're not as loyal to you as an American citizen. It's almost like the collective. They think about, you know, collective. It's, you know, I remember when 9/11 hit that President Obama just said, oh, we could absorb another one of these.
Well, you look at what happened.
Like,
of all the
things to say, like, we could absorb another one of these. Like, well, hello.
Wow.
Why would you even say that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know the full details of all this, but even the young Marine that was in Mexico that was sitting in jail
chained to
forever.
A bed, chained to his bed.
It's like...
Yeah.
How long is this American soldier citizen going to stay there as if you can't pick up a phone and have him immediately released? Immediately.
It reminds me of General Jerry, retired Boykin.
Boykin, yeah.
That when he was sent by the president and they were going to Grenada to be able to run out the bad guys out of Grenada, that he and a couple of his friends, there was a some sort of bomb that it blew up and it killed two of his friends and it wounded him, took his legs out from under him. And another particular Marine was on the ship and he was there and he heard that there was a military man down, one of his brothers down in Grenada, and he was on the boat. Mm-hmm. He was on a carrier, I believe it was. And he said, we got to go. And he looked to the man. The man says, well, we have all the aircrafts out. There's nothing we can go. He says, there's nothing. We don't have anything to go. And he finally says, well, we have that one helicopter, but it can't be flown because it's going through maintenance. He goes, it can't be flown. It's going through maintenance. Can it fly? And he goes, well, we can't. We'll get in trouble if we fly it. He says, that's not what I'm asking you. And I'm kind of paraphrasing this. He says, can it fly? And he says, yes, it can fly. He says, well, let's go take it. Because there's nobody who would go to get this Army general. And so... He gets this helicopter out and they fly it and they go pick him up to bring him back to safety and rescued who we know today is General Jerry Boykin, who is a man of God. But not only that, was he finds out when he gets there was one of his best friends. He didn't know that they were friends for years, you know, when he gets there, he finds out that this general was a friend of his and his friend came and got him. Because it's no man left. That's the America. That's the America that we know about. It's officers, you know, coming from the streets. I was just thinking about, you know, going to Pam's funeral just recently and seeing Mike, her son, and the fellow officers coming in. I mean, we have this bond that just stays together. You just can't shake it. It's just always there because you're always going in after each other. You're backing each other up.
Mm-hmm.
But America used to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America used to be able to just say, you know, listen, we can do this thing together. And now it's like, you know, everybody's for themselves. And it's just amazing. We would not have General Jerry Boykin today if that mindset wouldn't have been that they just would have left this man wounded to be able to bleed out in Grenada. But his friend unknowingly, and the Army at that, the Marines at that, because he was an Army general, that came and rescued him. He didn't care. And he told that guy that was with him on the boat that kept on saying, we're going to get in trouble. He says, listen, it's going to be on me. You get in the passenger seat. We're going to go. We're going to go get this guy. Don't worry. I'll take on the responsibility of it. I'm so glad that he did that, because this is an awesome man of God. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it. And what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Pat and John. John, man, what has God been saying to you, man? What has God been saying to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was just spent some time with the Lord and just reading John chapter 20 about Jesus. And when he was raised from the dead, and it was an empty tomb, you know, this chapter is pretty amazing because Jesus reveals himself and his message, but he reveals himself to Mary. He appears to the disciples and he appears to Thomas. And, you know, they go into the tomb and they find that the tomb is empty and Jesus was no longer there. And, you know, Peter and another disciple get there. They find the linen cloths that was wrapped around them. They put aside. And you know, after Peter and the other disciple left, you know, Mary's sitting there and she's crying. She's crying. And I found that it was so interesting that at this particular time, although Jesus had told them what was going to happen to him, and although they seemingly, maybe they thought they knew, at this particular time, Mary still had no idea what had happened to Jesus when she saw the tomb empty. She was still shocked. She was crying. And the Lord just reminded me. I mean, even when Jesus first appeared to Mary, he appeared to her as a gardener. And so she's having a conversation with Jesus, though he appeared as a gardener. And she's asking,
didn't she think he was a gardener?
That's what I'm saying. She thought he was the gardener. She didn't know.
I mean, he wasn't the gardener. You know what I'm saying? It was the God. It was like, okay.
Yeah. And so she's asking, do you know where they put him? Do you know where they put Jesus?
She's talking to Jesus, asking where they put Jesus.
Right. And she didn't get it. You know, he reveals and makes himself known. And one of the things the Lord was just speaking to me about is that, listen, at the appointed time, God's going to reveal to us the things that we need to know, you know, but he's going to reveal to us as we stay in an abiding relationship with him. You know, all this time God had told them, but she had not known what was going to happen. She did not know that Jesus was going to resurrect. That he, of course, he was not going to be in the tomb, but he was going to come back. And so she's wondering, what's happening? And so he reveals himself to her. Well, then a little bit later down, as we keep reading.
It reminds me too, John, when you think about that he says that you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You will find me. That's what she was doing. She's seeking after him.
Right.
That's so cool, yeah. You know, yeah. That maybe if she wasn't looking for him, he never would have revealed himself.
Mm. Never would have revealed himself.
Wow, that's
good. And it's at the appointed time. You know, that's the whole thing. I mean, God's going to give us what we need to know at the time that we need to know it. But if we're not abiding and chasing hard after him and seeking just relationship and to be in communion and relationship with him, we're not going to hear it. We're not going to know. He's not going to have the opportunity to reveal himself. And so.
And think about it too, that, and if he does, because you weren't searching after him, you wouldn't even know it's him.
Like on the road, still on the road,
on the road, on the road to, on the road to Emmaus, you know, here they were, they didn't even know they were just mourning the loss of somebody who's standing right beside them.
Wow.
And they didn't even know. Yeah. They're just thinking like, did your heart burn? This guy we're talking to, didn't your heart burn mm-hmm. when he was talking to you?
Going on? Wasn't there something?
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So Jesus later on in this chapter comes into the room where the disciples were all gathered. They were still terrified because they thought they were going to be persecuted by the Jews. And the first thing he says is, listen, peace be with you. That's a good thing when the Lord says, peace be with you.
Yes, it really is. Instead of saying, like, peace be with that man over there in the corner. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
They're terrified. Yeah. They're terrified.
No doubt. I'm telling you, the more I study history, it's like they had a reason to be terrified. We have such a blessed country here. We don't understand how horrific things were. I mean, when the king said, off with your head, mm-hmm. I mean, it was off
the head.
When the religious folks said, it's off with your head, it was off with your head. They just kind of did it vicariously through other people.
Mm-hmm. So he says, peace be with you. And this is one of, this verse 21, he says, I'm sorry, verse 19 says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then in verse 21, I mean, this is one of the first things he tells his disciples when they're all gathered. One of the first things is, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is Jesus just, this is his first message to them. He says, listen, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I just love this. I believe that it's just the Lord just reminding us and keeping it in our forefront that, listen, the Lord is sending us. He sent his disciples. This was always on Jesus' mind. Jesus' mind was always on obeying the Father. But that John 3:16 tells us that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And God is sending us into the world. What we're doing on VFN Radio, what we all can be doing together collectively, is going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what's the gospel? That God loves you, that he's not going to hold these sins against you, and that you can turn from sin and make him the Lord of your life. I mean, the gospel, let me tell you something, it's not outdated. It is relevant. It is today, and it's the only hope for America. It's the only hope for anybody. Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he would draw, all men will be drawn unto him. And we can't forget that. And I just thought that was just so encouraging, that one of the very first things he tells his disciples, listen, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. If you didn't know that, you're a sent one. You're a sent one. And I believe there's many today, just like me at one time of my life. You know, I'm sitting and listening and listening and listening, and you're waiting for some sort of an epiphany. You're waiting for something to happen to you to say, you can go and share the love of God. You don't need degrees. You don't need a doctorate behind your name. You know, all you need is the love of God, the encounter of God, to share with someone, anyone, that God loves them, that God hasn't forgotten them. That God is there to rescue them in their situation, no matter what they're going through, but that they can give their whole heart to him. And it's just so important. And then he goes on to say this in verse 23, that if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And it's like, wow, God. You know, I'm just amazed at this whole encounter that they had. And it was, he did two important things this one time. He revealed himself to Mary. He revealed himself to the disciples. He revealed himself to Thomas. But he not only revealed himself, he revealed his message. And I think that as we continue to abide with the Lord, as we continue to spend time with him, not only is he going to reveal more and more of who he is, but he's also going to reveal the plans that he has for us and how we can be an extension of his love, how we can be an extension of who he is, and minister the love of God. Listen, the world doesn't need any other plans. I mean, there's so much turmoil going on in these days that we're living in. There's so many things happening. People need Jesus Christ. And as believers, let me tell you something. You're sent. You're a sent one. And the question is, Lord, who are you sending me to? Who are you sending me to? And we all have areas of influence and opportunities to reach people. But start there where you're at. Start in your neighborhood. Start in your family. Start amongst your friends. Start amongst your workplace. There's so many different people that you can minister to, but you got to get started.
Starts with one. You know, it just starts with, you know, and people say, I don't know if I could say the right thing, or just begin. Just begin. Practice. Say, listen, this first person I'm going to talk to, to share with them my experience with God and his goodness, that I'm just going to mess it up. I know I'm going to mess it up, so I'll just practice on this person. Matter of fact, go find someone on the other side of where or your town. And so if you do mess it up, you're like, I won't see that person for a while, which that doesn't even apply in the world today. You actually see everybody.
Well, it makes me think of that scripture, and it's the foolishness of what was preached that God uses. It's amazing.
Is that what you think about?
No, I'm just saying, it doesn't matter if we mess it up.
It's exactly right.
All that's foolish.
It could be horse flies. I mean, anything. God can heal right in the middle of batting horse flies. Remember that day?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, but we got to get over our own mindsets. It says that, you know, I'm just going to mess this up or whatever. It's like, we already have messed it up. That's why he died for us.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus is like, somebody's going, oh, I'm just going to mess it up. It's like, I was nailed to a cross because you messed it up. I got that part. Mm-hmm. If you'll just get out there and tell them, I'll work with you, confirming my word, of what you share with them.
Yeah.
And it's our testimony. It's powerful. You know, if you don't have a testimony, I mean, if you're not walking with God and you're not believing God for, you know, your life and you're not saved, obviously you don't have a testimony. You're, you know, religious.
That's right. But
you have a testimony of what God is doing daily in your life. And if you abide with him, which we talk about at iabide.org, you've got so many things to talk about the things of God.
I say this often, but you need to be in tune with your testimony. You need to go back and remind yourself. Write it down if you haven't written down your testimony. And you need to remind yourself of what the Lord has saved you from. Listen, you know, a man with an argument is always at the mercy with a man with an experience. If you've encountered God, listen, I was blind, but now I see.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I this is what God
And your testimony, when you share it, is anointed by God. You have to understand.
Absolutely.
Somebody says, if you start thinking, oh, I've shared this before. Listen, there's almost 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Listen, you haven't shared it with everybody. And even the ones you may have shared it with before that didn't respond, believe me, they forgot.
Yeah.
So when you share your testimony, that understand that that's because that's your experience. There's an anointing because your faith, that's your experience. Your faith is cranked up. You know it to be true. Nobody can argue with that because that's what happened to you. That's what God did for you. Mm-hmm. And there's an anointing on that. You should share your testimony everywhere you go.
Help and also help people to come to a point where they can make a decision. Oftentimes people don't ask. They don't finish. They don't close. You know what I'm saying? Because they're afraid that person's going to be rejecting them. People are not rejecting you. If they choose to reject, they're rejecting Jesus. But at least give them the choice that day they had the ability either to choose Jesus Christ or to reject them. But a decision was made. Listen, that person right then and there can give their hearts to the Lord. But if they didn't, your job was just to testify and to share, because it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people to the Lord. And you don't know, but I've heard testimonies of people going home. They didn't receive the Lord. They were like, Agrippa, you've almost convinced me what he said to Paul. And yet they went home and God gave them a dream. Or they went home and they couldn't get those words out of their mind. They just couldn't stop thinking about what was shared with them and later came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. You know, it's said that sometimes people have to hear the gospel 7 times before they give their life to God. Who knows what time you would be the one? Would you be the 3rd, the 5th, the 7th? But you want to get ahead and share God. Listen, the time is coming. Who knows where? I mean, in other countries, I mean, Pastor Youssef right now, who's rearrested.
Sitting in jail. I was just praying for him this morning. My heart just goes out to him. Mm.
Rearrested for preaching the good news, preaching the gospel to Muslims. And we just can't forget that. I mean, we can't forget there's others that have given their lives, literally, to share Jesus. And we have a wonderful privilege. And you know what? Time is ticking. Yeah, you know, you look at it, it's like, you know, how when it's all said and done, I was thinking about this. Listen, I was thinking about this the other day. I was praying. And I just started thinking about this. This was pretty cool. Imagine that when we're in heaven and it's all said and done, and we're going to see the Lord, and he's going to give us rewards based upon what we've done here on earth. I had this idea that the Lord was going to show us, like, you know, that we're going to have this feeling, we'll get all these rewards, and it's all said and done, and he was going to look at us and show us all the opportunities that we had to share the gospel, and we're going to be enjoying the fact that we're in heaven, but yet we're going to look back and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know that little testimony, I didn't know that one time that I prayed with someone, I didn't know that one time that I shared the gospel, it was going to have these huge ramifications in the kingdom of God. I didn't know that all these other people came to the kingdom just when I was obedient to do this one seemingly little thing. And it just inspired me to say, you know what, I'm not going to take anything for granted. You know, I'm going to just continue to sow the gospel, because I don't want to have those regrets later. I don't want to be like, oh man, if I would have just went one more time.
Well, you think about it. This is what Jesus says. If you're ashamed of me before men, then I will be ashamed of you before the Father. Listen, religion today has told you different. That's the words of Jesus. It's time for us to be unashamed and be confident, begin to tell people about the awesomeness of God. You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God. He's riding with one of his friends. They're riding down the road, And they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who were had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually, these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord. And we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What, the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful thing. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you are alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once, or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least at $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just I felt so restrained. And you know, I know God's word tells us that He came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am free. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We're coming to the last quarter of the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. John, that was an awesome word. You know, when we seek after God, we seek after the Lord, He reveals Himself to us. And listen, once He makes Himself known, how could we not tell everybody about Jesus? And that's what we're doing. We're just letting you know, encouraging you. And what was so cool about BFN TV, the daily radio program, is we're partnering with you. We're partnering with you that together, you can share VFN Radio with your friends. They download the app, watch us on their smart tele, all the different things that they can get VFN TV and daily radio program with. And we together will tell them about every day about the awesomeness of God, give them hope, and share with them the story of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, today's wisdom moment. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. This is what it reads. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Let me read that again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Our wisdom moment for today looks like the best healthcare plan we possibly could have. Mm. We're finding out how to have good health. And the first thing we learn is about this progression and what we're learning in this wisdom moment and this proverb is, don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, so many people just go, well, that's right. I could think of two or three people that are wise in their own eyes. But the truth is, so many people would testify with one hand raised up swearing while the other hand is on the Bible that they're not wise in their own eyes. Yet working with them or walking with them is like wrestling at an MMA match. You know? I don't think of myself wise in my own eyes. It's like, I'm exhausted just walking with you, you know? They are constantly struggling with how others are leading them and questioning every single direction. Though this particular is the epitome of being wise in one's eyes, since it's driven by pride and fear, but they will fail to see it because pride blinds us. We're blinded by pride. We don't see that. When we're not wise in our own eyes, see, we're humble. We're open to counsel. We want to hear what somebody's got to say. Maybe there's a better way. We're seeking God. Maybe, you know, God's going to help us in this. And His leadership and our life and His leaders, we seek them out. And unquestionably, we follow what God is saying because we know that, hey, I need them. I need them to be. So it's a part of not being wise in your own eyes. You're open for a multitude of counsel. And you're walking away in an understanding of that. So the first thing that we learn is we need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves to trust God and to keep us from all the evil that's taking place, even under an evil rule. You understand, God will protect us if we're not prideful and wise in our own eyes. Secondly, we find out is that we're to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a progressive revelation. Though we may have much of the fear of the Lord in our life, there's still so much more to go. But our God enjoys and honors us maxing out what we have. He sees that and He honors it. And fearing the Lord is to be aware. Listen, this is, we define the fear of the Lord. Let's try to define it. Let's try to grab it here. The fear of the Lord is to be aware of God, to be aware of Him always, and to be aware of His commandments, His word, what His word says, and seeking to follow them with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's loving God. While being aware of His kindness and His sternness. Kindness for those who obey Him and sternness for those who don't. Mm-hmm. That's the fear of the Lord. The best way to kind of compare it is to understand the way of a child with his father, for example. He knows that his father loves him beyond any bounds, but also he knows his father has expectations and there's consequences for not following it. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, he knows, oh my goodness, something's about to happen. I'm fixing to be disciplined. Something's fixing to happen to me because I'm going to have to pay a consequence for not doing what dad or my father wanted me to do. All this is happening simultaneously while this child never doubts the love his father has for him, knowing that it's actually because his father loves him that he's actually giving him these boundaries and these consequences. That's a healthy understanding of what the fear of the Lord is, like the fear a child has, a healthy fear of their of his parents or her parents, that the parent loves me, but also the parent is actually knows what's best for me under those conditions. The third thing that we learn is that we have to shun evil. We have to shun evil, he says in the Proverbs. Well, shun is defined as persistently avoiding, ignoring, or rejecting. It's something you have to do persistently. Evil is so present and seemingly everywhere, but it's God's expectation of us to shun it, that we're to persistently avoid it, ignore it, and to reject it. It's not something that we could just do once and we're done. Hey, back in 10 years ago, I shunned evil. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to do daily. As a matter of fact, you may have to do it hourly in that day, but it's okay. It's not for us to be ashamed because evil exists. We didn't have anything to do with that. It's for us to realize it's there and to shun it, to ignore it, to persistently avoid it. And then we find out, you know, what does God's word tell us about our lives and how we're supposed to live our life? Well, this is what he tells us. If we live our lives this way, what I just talked about, this is what happens to us. This is the benefit. This is the byproduct of what we get by following God. First is that what he spoke about, this is what it actually literally brings health to our bodies. It just makes us healthy. It brings health to our bodies. So many people are constantly sick in their body because they constantly struggle with pride, being wise in their own eyes. They have no fear of the Lord, and they coexist among evil around them or even in them. And then it goes on and it says, listen, this, what I just spoke about earlier, brings nourishment to our bones. There's nothing like nourishment in the bones, nourished bones, for this is where, in the middle of your bones, where your cells are created, your red blood cells and all that kind of stuff. And your cells are what transports health to your whole body. When our bones are nourished, our whole body is nourished. Listen, the wisdom moment for today is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.